Hey, Smutters.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
I liked what you said the first time.
Yeah, but I started thinking about it, and I really don't think it's cool to call everybody penises.
I do. Hey, Pocket Rockets.
You know, you probably really need to give some story to that.
Okay. We were watching Dance Moms, okay? Y'all know that's our show. And the girl, oh my God, that's a pocket rocket too.
Well, remember, only 10% of it sticks out.
Oh my God.
Also, it's cold.
So the girls were getting critiqued by the judges, and one of the girls like did this crazy cute routine, and the judge goes, "Wow, you're a little pocket rocket, aren't you?" But we started laughing, and even the moms were like, I don't think they know what that means in Australia, because the judge was Australian. So y'all know what that means in Australia. I know y'all do. I'm pretty sure we've got some Australian listeners.
Yeah, I think we do, don't we?
We do. But it was, we've been laughing about that all night, so...
Guys, I'm looking at memes right now. Sorry.
He's looking at memes about pocket rockets. So
I'm not looking at penises right now.
But yes, we have still continued with our Dance Mom show. And as a matter of fact, I made a deal with one of my friends at work.
The devil?
She can be the devil sometimes, I bet. Just kidding. No, I made a deal because she was like, "I'm never going to watch Dance Moms." And I was like, "Yes, you are." So I made a deal. She was like, "If you watch this show, I will watch Dance Moms." And I was like, "Well, have fun, because it's 8 seasons, 44 episodes per season." And she was like, "Okay, if you," because her show is only like an hour long, and that's like for all of them. So she's going to watch one season of Dance Moms. And
living on the dance floor.
Living on the dance floor. Anyway.
You always copy me.
So the show she wanted me to watch was Over the Garden Wall, and I watched that tonight while you were asleep. And it was such a wonderful show. I absolutely loved it. Guys, if y'all have HBO Max, and if y'all like this show like Adventure Time and stuff like that, because Adventure Time is one of my favorites, watch Over the Garden Wall. You will absolutely love it, because once it gets to the end and it's like a big reveal, it's like, oh my goodness, that's insane. But
do you know there's an alien shuttle between Earth and Mars right now?
Really?
That's what it says. Proof is out there.
Well, they're gonna make themselves known soon. I feel it.
Yeah, I think America's gearing up to release something.
Yeah,
there's too much out there.
There is a lot. Oh my goodness. There's a bunch of, like, I don't know if there's more alien stories out now, or the fact that we've gotten more into it, that we're finding them more now.
Well, you know, not many of y'all know this, but I'm really, really into politics, like, big time. I never discuss it because it's the wrong thing to do.
I was about to say, we should definitely talk politics on here.
No. it's just, you know, it is what it is. But anyways, so I was watching this YouTube thing about politics, of course. And they made a great point. Like, and I didn't know what was going on, but when they said this, because there's like so many things that's happened, and you know, of course, we're always kind of a closet conspiracy theorist, but they're like, this and this and this and this and this has happened, but nobody's heard about it because of all the alien stories that's come out. And I'm like, what the fuck? There's alien stories out right now? And like, here's the thing. I've really got to start watching news on TV instead of just from Facebook, Instagram, all this other stuff, because I'm missing out.
Yeah.
Like, sure. I haven't heard about the aliens yet.
Yeah.
So I need to look and see what's going on.
Right, because streaming services don't have news on there.
Actually,
do
that's
they?
Why we upgraded our Peacock, because now we have local
news.
NBC News. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. 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 But yeah, like you, I remember you watching that the other night, and you were like,
"Wait, what?"
Yeah, you were like, "What UFO is he talking about?" And I was like, "I don't know," because you've like been sending me stuff about exorcisms and stuff.
Yeah, and I totally missed something.
What is going on in this world right now? There's so much going on. But yeah, what else was I gonna say?
That you love me.
I do love you. Also, May the 4th is coming up. And we will be doing our special annual Star Wars episode. So we can talk about upcoming shows, what we thought about The Mandalorian. And I can give you my Padme theory one more time. So I can get that and plant it in
so
y'all's.
Sad.
Stop it. So I can get that and plant it in
okay,
y'all's.
Okay, anyway, what's the story about tonight?
Sorry, I was just making that announcement about our Star Wars Day. So the story tonight is a good one. I've got to stop putting my foot up here. I keep knocking the thing off. We are actually going to talk about the first recorded ancient aliens visitors. Pretty much. So, and y'all, this is before the Egyptians. It is a very cool story. It's, before I start, I want to say that, you know, this is a legend. This is a myth.
Is it about me?
The man, the myth, and the legend?
Yep.
Of course. But yeah, this is a myth. It's a legend. And
whoa. Speaking of news,
what?
So sorry to interrupt.
You're fine.
It's on Fox News like 6 hours ago. The James Webb Space Telescope has revealed a protocluster of 7 galaxies. Seven galaxies.
They've been talking about that. I think you sent me something on it. As a matter of fact, didn't you?
Because this is new.
Oh, okay.
So there's 7 new galaxies out
there. You are a time traveler.
I wish.
Okay. So, as I was saying, this is a legend. It's not proven facts, okay? I don't want anybody to get upset about this story. It's just opening your mind and something fun, okay? So, and we've got so many people that love the alien stories, including myself. And I think you're starting to like the alien stories a little bit. And this is pretty interesting. It's very interesting. Troy already knows it's interesting because this is the second time we've had to do this tonight. Something happened to the computer and we had to start all over. So I am going to dive on in. And before I do, I want to let you guys know that if you get into this episode, you can go to History Channel and the show Ancient Aliens. If you go to season 6, episode 3, they do a whole episode on this. It's called the Anunnaki. And I wasn't able to, out of all the streaming services we have, Hulu has one season of Ancient Aliens, and Peacock has the season I need, but not the episode. They only had one episode on season 6. And Netflix just downright isn't working for us, so get it together, Netflix.
Yeah, I'm about to just cancel that.
Yeah, we need to. All right, so let's dive on in to the Anunnaki.
Okay.
Are you excited to hear the story again?
Yeah. The day is never finished. The master got me working. South Park.
Okay.
Master got me
working.
Stop it.
Oh my God, stop.
Anybody still make smothered steak with brown gravy?
Please stop.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
I'm going to punch you in the throat. My face is so red right now.
Wow.
God almighty, what is... Oh, my... Okay, y'all. Hopefully, you know how sometimes the microphone doesn't catch things? I hope that is one of them that it did not catch. Okay? All right.
It's about your story.
It's, oh my God, it is about my story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good one. All right.
We've already done it twice.
Okay. So, before the Greeks prayed to Zeus, or even the Egyptians praised Osiris, the Sumerians worshipped the Anunnaki. The Sumerians lived in Mesopotamia from about 4500 to 1750 BC. Before we get into the story, let's go back and get a better understanding of the Sumerians. This is the first recorded civilization of mankind. Their origins are unknown. Mesopotamia was located in what is now Iraq and Iran.
Hey, do you think that since you're doing that, Iraq and Iran,
mm-hmm.
that this might shed some light on what I said earlier, how there's like 100,000 pounds precise precision laser cut blocks that made pyramids?
Thank you for saying that.
I don't know. It just still confuses me on how okay. they were made.
Well, you said that at a different part last time when it made sense, because we haven't even started talking about that But yeah, y'all, this is the original ancient aliens, as I said, and the first recorded aliens. And Troy had originally asked if I thought maybe they had helped with the pyramids. So
that shit just blows my mind.
It is. It's very crazy. And since he said that, surprise, we're doing the pyramids next week. Oh. I've already started researching on them and everything. We're looking up all the different ways that the pyramids could have possibly been built, and not just focusing on aliens, because I do understand that the Egyptians are getting kind of pissed off about that. And we're just going to look at every angle that they could have been built. I mean, I'm not saying it was aliens.
But it was aliens.
But it was aliens. okay. So, where was I? But yes, I'm glad you said that, because I would have forgot. Mesopotamia, as I said, was located in what is now Iraq and Iran, between the Tigris and the Euphrates River.
You know what would be a good story?
What?
About the Euphrates River and it going dry.
Oh, yeah. You're right. That's a different thing, though. So we'll talk about that. I'll write that down.
Totally different.
Totally different subject.
Religion.
Mesopotamia is known as the cradle of our civilization.
The cradle of life.
The Sumerians were the first people to actually leave records of their astronomical observations. Archaeologists have found many tablets that show their fascination with space and the stars. They invented the plow, which played a huge role in helping their empire grow.
Oh, yeah, getting plowed.
They developed cuneiform, one of the earliest known systems of writing, and they even developed time. Yes, I said time. They came up with the 24 hours of each day, the modern division of 12 months, the division of hours into 60 minutes, and they even came up with 60 seconds.
Time is illusion.
They have recovered 500,000 tablets, but only a small number of them have been translated. Researchers have learned a lot on Babylonian times, and that's the Babylonians came after the Sumerians, so they kind of migrated with each other and turned into the Babylonians. But even to the Babylonians, the Sumerians were considered ancient. We do know that the Sumerians worshipped the Anunnaki. But what are the Anunnaki? And how did the Sumerians come to worship them? This is where the story begins. From the ancient Sumerian texts, it is said the Anunnaki are a race of beings that came from a planet called Nibiru. And I was telling Troy earlier that that name, it sounded familiar to both of us, actually. And after I did the story, I was on Facebook, and I follow a Facebook group called Nibiru or something, and I didn't know what it was. I just started following them because they do a lot of, like, UFO stuff, but now I know why.
Now you know.
Now I know. Now, the Anunnaki, as I said, came from Nibiru, and their planet's atmosphere was eroding, so they decided to come to Earth and mine gold to help repair their atmosphere. When the Anunnaki arrived on Earth thousands and thousands of years ago, they brought a race of beings with them called the Igigi.
The Igigi.
Igigi. They were kind of like the servant class. They basically did all the labor and anything the Anunnaki needed. Their main task was mining the gold. But after 2,500 years of labor, the Igigi decided to rebel. Now, the main alien in charge of the Igigi, his name was Enlil. He was an Anunnaki. And the Igigi decided that they were going to stop and they were going to go to Enlil and let him know that they weren't doing it anymore. So, basically, the Anunnaki decided that they weren't going to stop rebelling. So, they needed a new solution. Who was going to do the work for them? They decided to create human beings. Before we get into the creation, we need to talk about Enki. Enki was one of the Anunnaki beings. Enki was the one who suggested creating a new race of slaves. The others agreed, so Enki gathered clay and mixed it with his bloodline. Remember that, y'all. He used his bloodline so the new race would have divine wisdom. And that is how humankind was born. The Anunnaki disguised themselves as lion humans, fish humans, bird humans, and other creatures to get the humans to worship them as gods. Kind of like when you look at the Egyptians and you see the different gods they have. They, you know, the main one that I keep thinking of is the bird head with the man body.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which one that, if it's Ra or what, I can't remember. Oh, we will, we'll know next week though, y'all, I promise. So that's what they did. They even created a portal from Mesopotamia to Nibiru to transport the minerals to fix their atmosphere. Over many years, as the humans began to populate more and more, some of the Anunnaki beings took the humans to different parts of the earth, and they ruled over them there. They helped the humans with building, economy, astrology, writing. They even created and taught different religions for different parts of the world. After many years, Enlil, the one that was over the Igigi slaves, the original ruler over the Igigi, decided to go back to Nibiru because he was tired of humans. He was tired of mankind. But before going back, he decided he wanted to kill all the humans. Now, do you know how he wanted to kill all the humans?
I do now.
He wanted to flood the earth. So, Enki, who was Enlil's brother, hated this idea. He started to grow fond of the humans. He really liked the humans. He was the one that made the humans. Those were his children, I guess, you know? So, he warned Zasudra / Noah of the humans' fate, of what was going to happen. The man made an ark and put all the animals inside. The flood came and destroyed all life on earth. But the waters eventually went down, and the man, also known as Noah, released the animals, and the planet was repopulated. The Anunnaki found out and promised to return again one day, but decided to leave the humans alone and allow them to run their own planet. So, to better describe this, I found kind of a timeline that goes over it a little bit. And we're going to start 450,000 years ago.
Wow.
Yes. So, on Nibiru, a distant member of our solar system, life faces slow extinction as the planet's atmosphere erodes. Deposed by Anu, the ruler, Alulu, escapes in a spaceship and finds refuge on Earth. This really sounds like Superman's story. Kal-El found refuge. He discovers that Earth has gold that can be used to help protect Nibiru's atmosphere. 445,000 years ago, led by Enki, a son of Anu, the Anunnaki land on Earth and establish Eridu, Earth Station 1, for extracting gold from the waters of the Persian Gulf. 430,000 years ago, Earth's climate mellows. More Anunnaki arrive on Earth, and among them, Enki's half-sister, Ninhursag, was a chief medical officer. 416,000 years ago, as gold production falters, Anu arrives on Earth with Enlil, the heir apparent. It is decided to obtain the vital gold by mining it in southern Africa. Drawing lots, Enlil wins command of Earth mission. Enki is relegated to Africa. On departing Earth, Anu is challenged by Alulu's grandson. 400,000 years ago, 7 functional settlements in southern Mesopotamia include a spaceport, mission control center, a metallurgical center, and then the ores arrive by ships from Africa. The refined metal is sent aloft to orbiters manned by the Yagigi and then transferred to spaceships arriving periodically from Nibiru. This sounds like a sci-fi movie. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, right? 380,000 years ago, gaining the support of the Yagigi, Alulu's grandson attempts to seize mastery over Earth. The Enlilites win the war of the olden gods. 300,000 years ago, the Anunnaki toiling in the gold mines mutiny. Enki and Ninhursag create primitive workers through genetic manipulation of ape woman. They take over the manual chores of the Anunnaki. and Lil raids the mines, brings the primitive workers to the Eden in Mesopotamia, and they give them the ability to procreate. Homo sapiens begin to multiply. 200,000 years ago, life on Earth regresses during a new glacial period. And I thought that was the Ice Age, but it mentions the Ice Age later on, too.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. 100,000 years ago, the climate starts to warm up. The Anunnaki, to Enlil's growing annoyance, start to marry the daughters of man, meaning the Anunnaki are intermingling with humans and marrying humans and having babies with humans. And Enlil does not like this. So, 75,000 years ago, the accretion of Earth, a new ice age begins. Regressive types of man roam the Earth. Cro-Magnon man survives. 49,000 years ago, Enki and Ninhursag elevate humans of Anunnaki parentage to rule in Sharupak. And Lil is enraged and plots mankind's demise. 13,000 years ago, realizing that the passage of Nibiru in Earth's proximity will trigger an immense tidal wave, Enlil makes the Anunnaki swear to keep the impending calamity a secret from mankind. 11,000 BC, Enki breaks the oath and instructs Zisudra/Noah to build a submersible ship. The deluge sweeps over the Earth. The Anunnaki witness the destruction from their orbiting spacecraft. Enlil agrees to grant the remnants of mankind implements and seeds. Agriculture begins in the highlands. Enki domesticates the animals. 10,500 BC. The descendants of Noah are allotted three regions. Ninurta, Enlil's foremost son, dams the mountains and drains the rivers to make Mesopotamia habitable. Enki reclaims the Nile Valley. The Sinai Peninsula is retained by the Anunnaki for a post-diluvial spaceport. A control center is established on Mount Moriah, the future Jerusalem. And that is the history. And that is what they found on tablets. And I don't think it was as, you know, to the point as that, but they got all these stories from the tablets, and that's what's amazing to me. You know, flying ships, even in the hieroglyphics,
Yeah. You
see, like, I posted one of the carvings from the Sumerians as a hint to what this week's story would be on Instagram. And in the picture, they're looking up at people flying in what looks like a UFO. So I'm going to post more pictures. They're so interesting, and it makes you think, because, you know, as I said, we'll get to Egypt next week, but I know we've all seen the hieroglyphics of the UFOs and stuff like that hidden in the drawings and stuff, you know? And it's something to think about. I don't know if that's exactly how we were created, but I think they believe they saw something, and it could have been anything. It could have even been angels, you know? You never know what it could have been. So,
hey.
Yes.
Another alien thing.
Really?
On the news right now.
On the news right now.
ABC News. An odd beam of light was seen from the ground in Miami Beach. The video was sent in to the meteorologist, and he tries to explain what could be happening. It is literally like light beams in the sky. Look at this. Look right there.
Oh, I see that.
Wait, it moves.
What the hell?
How can you explain that?
It is like somebody, y'all, is standing on a cloud with a flashlight.
Yeah.
And moving it around.
I'll send this to you.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just, you know. So, I told you I was looking for news stories.
Yeah. Do we have proof of the Anunnaki other than the tablets? Because I thought of that South Park episode too. The tablets. Well, I'm going to read you guys some things and I'm going to let you make up your own mind.
Make it up yourself.
Okay. So, DNA. Everybody has DNA.
You want my DNA?
DNA is present in all living things. It carries our genetic information.
Our makeup.
Exactly. It basically tells us everything in our genetic history that has helped make us who we are today as humans. There are billions of strands of DNA, you know, and there is a strand because scientists have gone through all the strands that humans have and they are able to pinpoint each strand. Okay.
Well, you know, they also say everybody with blue eyes came from the same descendant.
Yeah, so we're cousins.
You're my...
I'm your sister.
You're my cousin wife.
Okay, so what I was saying was scientists have been able to pinpoint where humans' strands of DNA has come from. Every strand. Except one. They refer to it as the missing link. Nothing on Earth has this type of DNA strand. This has baffled scientists for years and years and years. They do not know where it came from. So, is it possible that that strand could be extraterrestrial? You never know.
Never know.
That is something to think about. Also, the Anunnaki came to Earth for gold because, as I said, their atmosphere was eroding. So I got to thinking, what could gold possibly do for an atmosphere? I mean, that just...
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Okay, well, I looked it up. Okay. I'll explain it to you. Did you know it is a scientific fact that gold helps protect against corrosion from UV rays and x-rays? And I'm not talking about like the gold you see on jewelry. This is powder. The powdery gold. This, you know, also gold is capable of reflecting radiation that is at a significantly high rate. So, basically, the gold acts as a protective shield in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Now, what got me after I read this, because that's very interesting. It's, you know, it helps me understand. But the fact that this was put on tablets around 4500 BC. I mean, I don't even think they knew what an atmosphere was. So for them to say, and I don't know how it was worded. They could have said, you know, they needed gold for their planet. Something was wrong with the sky at their planet. You know, I don't know how it was worded. But that's the story you find when you look at the Anunnaki. So for it to be that specific and then you try to look up the facts, it matches. It works out, but do understand it's not the gold that you wear. It is the powdery substance. Otherwise, that would be a really expensive atmosphere. You know it? Also, I thought this was pretty interesting. I heard this on another podcast. People back in the days loved gold. People still love gold. But do we know why we love gold so much? Do you know why? I mean, it's expensive. It's value. But before it had such a value, if people got gold or found a piece of gold, they considered it to be a gift from the gods, because only the gods wore gold, you know? So if they were lucky enough to have a piece of gold, they would make jewelry out of it because they were proud to wear it. One of their gods gave it to them and it was meant for them to have. So they wanted to show everyone. So that's why what they made jewelry out of their gold was to show it off and be proud of what they had. So I mean, that has nothing to do with the story. I just thought it was really interesting. And so I wrote it down too. Oh. So I thought that was pretty cool. Now, in the ancient texts, it shows that the Anunnaki are giants, the Nephilim.
Really?
Yes. And that's all.
I just seen something on giants.
Did you? Because we're going over giants next week too. But that's all I wrote about the Anunnaki being giants. I just figured y'all might want to know that. I don't know why I put that down. The Sumerians had these tablets, and they're actually in a museum right now. I did not write down which museum. I totally spaced on that, but they are in a museum. The tablets are called the King's List. Basically, it is the links and the reigns of the kings of Sumer, the towns of Mesopotamia, pretty much. But what's funny about this is the kings before the flood are significantly different from the rest. And when I say different, I mean the first king, Eridu, reigned for 28,800 years. Hmm. And then the second king, Algar, reigned for 36,000 years. So these are the kings before the flood. After the flood, they don't reign as long. When the Anunnaki supposedly left. So that's something to look at. But also, guys, remember, biblical time was a lot different from our time. I think in the Bible, people lived for hundreds and hundreds of years. So that's one.
Yeah, Moses, like 400.
Yeah. Like, this is something you need to take with a grain of salt, because this did not mean much to me. But I did think it was interesting that you could see them. And they have them up on display, and I'll post them on Instagram so you can see them. And yeah, I mean, 28,000 years is a lot different from 400 years. But, you know, time was different back then. Okay, I know they came up with time, but how long did it take them to do that? And, you know, I'm sure it wasn't very accurate because they didn't have watches. So... You know, so take that one with a grain of salt, because, you know, I'm sure back then we're probably like 600 years old by now. So, yeah, so that wasn't a big one for me, but they do have those tablets that say that.
They could have thought, you know, they're a year older every time the sun set.
Exactly. You know. Like... Yeah, you're so right. So, many are very skeptical about all this, but you cannot deny that the people of Sumer were advanced for their time. In 2015, one of the clay tablets was translated.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
And it showed, get this, that ancient astronomers, and y'all keep in mind, this is like... the first, you know, record of man that we have, made extremely mathematical calculations for the orbit of Jupiter, 1,400 years before the Europeans did. That's something. I don't even know how they would know what Jupiter was. This is what keeps getting me is, did they say, oh, that star is really bright, let's watch that and count how long it takes to get, you know, I don't understand. Math is not my strong suit either, but for them to know Jupiter and all that. And also, again, I didn't read the tablets. I can't read that writing. So I'm going off of what they're saying it said and where it could be. There was a really bright star and it took this many days to get from point A to point B, you know?
Right.
So you never know, because it could be accurate either way, you know? Some of the ancient Sumerian texts even reference flying machines. That was the part that got me. Because I don't think you can really mistake a flying machine. Any machine that a human is in, or a box even that's in the air that a human is in, is a flying machine.
Right.
You know? So I think that is very, you know, that's what stands out to me. It's not so much the thing about Jupiter, because there's no telling what was said about that. But for them to say a flying machine, you know, they could have been standing on a log that was motorized in the air, and that's still so advanced, you know,
right.
Even for something we'd have today. So I do think they saw something. You know, I feel like they 100% saw something. I just don't know what, you know. As of right now, there is no confirmed evidence of the Anunnaki. Scholars still have a lot to learn about the Sumerians, and many of the tablets are still being translated. And a lot of the texts haven't even been excavated from the ground yet. So, but I was looking around to see when the Anunnaki are supposed to come back. And I saw so many different things. I heard in the next few years, I heard they were supposed to, it was a big thing, them coming back in 2012. I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, they were supposed to come back in 1997. Well, that was wrong. So they were going to come back in 2012. Well, that's wrong too. So, you know, it's just one of those things. So you never know when they're going to come back. And even if they're going to let us know if they come back, they may just fly by to check on us and keep going. So, and you know what? This also made me, it kind of made me laugh, because they were so tired of mankind. They were like, you know what? Just keep your planet. We'll come back and check on you. And, you know, they probably left and they're like, they're fine. I don't even care. We've got our planet. Who cares what they do? So they're probably never coming back, because as y'all know, we are a garbage planet. So I don't think they really pay much attention to us. I don't think we're a threat to any other planet out there because of what we do to ourselves anyway. So they're probably like, they're just not going to be around that long if they can reign for 28,000 years, you know?
Yeah.
So they're like, they'll be gone soon. But that is my story of the Anunnaki. It's very fascinating to me. And it really made me want to dive into the Egyptians. And I do know that Egypt is getting very offended by people saying that the pyramids were made by aliens. So we are going to look at all different aspects. I started the research last week for this. And there's all different kinds of hypothesis and everything about how the, you know, the pyramids were made. So we will go over every aspect of that. We will go over the hieroglyphics that, you know, people think they see cell phones and stuff in.
Right.
And it's going to be a good time. So I'm very excited about next week. I know this episode was kind of short, but there's not a whole lot on the Anunnaki. If you want to learn more, as I said, look for Ancient Aliens on the History Channel for season 6, episode 3. I think that's what I read. If not, it's on there, but it should be that season in that episode if you want to learn more, or just look it up. You can look up, you know, Anunnaki, and the whole story will come up for you. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope it made you think a little bit and kind of opened your mind. And I'm so excited for next week. It's kind of a two-parter for the Ancient Aliens type deal, you know?
Right.
So I think it's going to be super fun.
Sweet.
All right, you guys. I need to tell Troy a huge thank you for recording more than once with me, because he really did not want to.
I hate doing it twice.
Well, it is. And plus, we got a late start. So it's 3:00 in the morning right now. So we're going to get this out, and I'll get those pictures posted for you guys. And thank you for listening, everybody. Layer up, make good choices, and drink lots of steak.
It's winter or summertime.
You never know when it's going to change. Stay hydrated, and we will see you guys next Sunday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.